Chirim Chirat Karuna Avatina Kalo Samarpahitam Anuchala Rasam Svabhakti Shriyam Hari Padata Sundara Dyuti Kadamba Sandipitaha Sada Hridaya Kandare Svaratuva Sachinandanaham Uttama adama ki chuna bachi la chachi adile kakola kahe premananda emana goranga viraya dariya bola bhaja goranga kaha goranga la goranga namare bolo goranga kaha goranga la goranga Janna Goranga Bhaje Se Hoy Amar Prana Re Janna Goranga Bhaje Se Hoy Amar Prana Re Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yashyaiva padambuja bhakti labhya, prema vidana parama pumarta, tismai jagan mambala mambalaya, chaitanya chandraya namo namaste, chaitanya chandraya namo namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madgavirapi Gopala Sri Kriyat Kripaya Jari Tadaiva Sambhaya Pita Rishi Yustat Priya Janaha Sri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathata Brajabalabha Pahima Panchakopata Dudhischa Vipassindhu Vyayacha Patitanam Pavanidro Vaishnavedyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Giradhar Shivasari Gaurabhakta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the first thing I'd like to humbly request everybody is that all of you come very close. I took a bath last week. Okay. Unless you're holding up a wall or something, come close. So, Krishna Kumar and I are very happy to be back here again in Goloka Dham. It's a very special place. And not just because of the place. Actually, this is something we want to speak about the next few days, about the Lord's abode and where and how that Lord's abode manifests. So, we'd like to try to have a Vaishnava Sangha in the next few days. Maybe I'll say something more about this again on the day before Janmashtami. But we should understand what a Vaishnava Sangha means and why we're coming together to hear Krishna Katha. Some people, they might think that we're coming together to glorify the speaker, So the speaker might think the same thing. Everybody's coming to hear me. But as we've often said, it's something like the pujari. And if Mataji is doing Mangal Arati tomorrow morning, she opens the curtains and finds 100 devotees here in the room, and she thinks, look, everybody's come to watch me. There's something wrong. Because we're here for the pleasure of Madan Mohan. It's not to watch the pujari or listen to the speaker. The pujari service is simply to be a servant of their guru. Shivigrahara dhana nityanana shingara tanman vira marjanara yuktashya bhaktas janman jatopi vandegaro shri charanara vindu. Our Gurudev, he's qualified to do archana. He's qualified to read Srimad Bhagavatam and speak Krishna katha. We're just doing something on their behalf. Jiva Goswami and Bhakti Sundarbha, he says there's two types of speakers, a Sarad Vakta and a Nirad Vakta. We're a speaker with material desires and a speaker without material desires. He says, we don't want to hear from a speaker with material desires. He says, the benefits are not very deep and they're very short term. We want to hear from a speaker without material desires. So at this point, some of you might ask a very uncomfortable question. Then what are you doing sitting there? That's a good question, an honest question. The Bhagavatam 10th canto describes a Bahu Murtika Murtikam. Krishna's Advaita Tattva is one. But that same one Krishna becomes many, as in the Ras Lila, or as when Sudama Vipra, he took a boat from the coast to go to Dwarka. And when he arrived in Dwarka to see his old friend Krishna, he was a little confused. He saw so many huge palaces. So he asked some of the guards there, which one is Krishna's palace? And they said, all of them. Okay. He said, which one is Krishna in right now? And they said, all of them. So Krishna is one. But Bahu Murtika Murtikam, he becomes many, as in the Ras Lilas in Dwarka. In his Sartha Darshan commentary on this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Chinmayinam Nanati Taitam Abhipreta. That just as Krishna is one, Advaita Tattva, so also is this form as the holy name. The holy name, Abhinatva Nama Namino, is none different from Krishna. And just as Krishna is one, but he becomes many, so also is the holy name. Gopa Kumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he heard a mantra one time from his Gurudev. His Guru didn't even explain it to him, and then his Guru disappeared. But that one mantra became many. When we hear that one time from our Gurudev, and then we repeat it, that repetition is another name for shravan, for hearing. In the language of my Guru Maharaj, he used to say, this is the kirtan of the disciple. The disciple's kirtan is another name for shravan, for hearing. We hear from Sadguru, and then we repeat. And this is the purpose of our society. Sometimes, I hope it's not going on so much today, but it used to be in the time when I joined 30 years ago, the devotees, they had this idea, there's no such thing as love in this world. And even if you would speak about love between a devotee, husband and wife, or brahmachari friends, or even a parent and child, people would say, usually brahmacharis, but people would say, that's Maya Kumbh. And Srila Prabhupada, he said some things like that. In one letter in 1973, he wrote, you refer to the word love several times in your letter, but the actual fact is that there's no love in this material world. That is false propaganda. What they call love here is lust only, or desire for sense gratification. So sometimes in our movement, devotees, they felt that this also applied amongst devotees. But fortunately, Srila Prabhupada said something different. In a lecture in Los Angeles in 1970, Srila Prabhupada said, in the second platform, Madhyama Adhikari, we should not only love God, but we should make friendship with devotees who are loving God. That is society. Our society is devotees. We should not only practice to love God, but we should make friendship and love the devotees also. This is also spoken about in the Satvata Tantra. Exactly what that love between devotees is. Hari Lila Sutochara Pareshi Satatam Chaya Karya Pitistavahara Yata Bhaktir Nanashiti. Very nice verse. It says that Hari Lila Sutochara Pareshi Satatam Chaya. You should always love devotees who are speaking Krishna Katha, who are coming together to hear Krishna Katha. And if we do that, then yitta bhaktir nanashiti, your bhakti will be protected. You won't fall down. Because bhakti stu bhagavad bhakta, sangena parijayate. Association with devotees is what gives us bhakti. Krishna bhakti janma mula, hoya sadhu sangha. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, the birthplace of Krishna bhakti is sadhu sangha. That especially means satam prasangam. Maybe we'll speak on this verse a little bit later. Association with pure devotees. But another meaning is pure association. As Srila Prabhupada once told the GBC body, our favorite statement, he said this chanting should go on. Instead of meetings, resolutions, dissolutions, revolutions, and no solutions, there should be chanting. This is our movement. This is a solution for our movement. And Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Parasparanu katanam bhavanam bhagavad yasaha. We should learn how to associate with devotees. By speaking Krishna katha and by hearing Krishna katha. Mito ratya mitastu sthir nibritta mita atmanaha. And if we do that in association with devotees, then an actual thing happens. Devotees, by speaking Krishna katha together and coming together in a very intimate way, they reveal their heart and they speak about what things they've given up. I used to really be attached to television, but somehow or other, Sachinanda Maharaj's last retreat was just so ecstatic, I just gave it up, and I haven't been bothered by that at all. And when you hear someone else tell you that, then you think, yeah, I can do that also. Why should I do that? Nivritya mita atmanaha. And we're able to give up those bad things. So our society is devotees. Archayam eva haraye pujamya shudayayate. Natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sa bhakta prapita sundaha. Prapita bhaktas and materialistic devotees, they think the purpose of the society is just deity worship or even book distribution. Because archayam eva haraye, they see that I'll worship God, and God may mean Madan Mohan, or God may mean that Acharya Mam Vijanayam. Krishna says that Gurudev is my representative. So I have my God is Madan Mohan, or my God is my Gurudev. But Natad Bhaktesu Chanyesha, I don't pay very much attention or regard for the devotees. We should question, why did Madan Mohan come? A very nice thing to think about. I don't mean to offend anybody who has some nationalistic spirit, but I rather doubt that they came because they were attracted by Germany. I think that they came because they wanted to see what Srila Prabhupada was doing here. And they wanted to see all the Westerners coming together and hearing and chanting. And that gives them pleasure. And they want to come and give blessings to the devotees. So our society is hearing and chanting together. And we should understand that hearing and chanting is not our business, but it's the business of our Gurudev. We'd like to speak something for the next few days about Krishna's appearance in this world. And there are many questions we'd like to address. How Krishna comes to this material world, why Krishna came, what is his bahiranga karan, his external reason, what is his antaranga karan, his internal reason, who does he come with, what is the stage in which he comes, and who is really Krishna's mother? Is it Devaki or is it Yashoda? These are some things that we would like to try to speak about. And we'll touch on a few topics in the first, second, and third chapters of the Bhagavatam. We'll also speak a few things from a book by which we're just translating, called Govinda Mangal by Bhuti Shandas, who's a disciple of Shyamananda Pandit, and a little bit from Vaidagya Vilas, a book by Manohar Das, and a few other literature such as Gopal Champu and some different commentaries. The fourth verse of the first chapter, of the tenth canto, is very important. It sets the stage for Krishna's appearance. And it also gives us some understanding of what it relates to us. I don't like just telling stories about Krishna's views, but we want to think, what does it mean to me? How does it relate to me? Because most of us were very self-centered. And if we don't understand what relationship this story has to me, then it doesn't go very deep. It's just some entertaining story. We should think about it very deeply. So Sukadeva Goswami, he tells Maharaj Parikshit, Mibhriti-tarsha-rupa-giyamana-bhavo-sudash-chotra-manoviramana Ka-uta-ma-shloka-guna-na-vada-pumandir-jeta-vina-pashuna. Prabhupada translates this verse. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned souls undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher, or one who is killing his own self? This is a very, very deep verse. We could speak on this for many, many days, and many elaborate commentaries from our acharyas. We'd like to just touch on a few points of this. This verse sets the stage, and it gives us some relevance to what we want to do. First of all, it speaks about who's qualified to hear this. Nirriti tarshaya upagiyamana. Those persons who are not interested in sense gratification. And Prabhupada says that bhavasudach chotamanobhirama is performed in the parampara system. We should hear this, and then we should repeat this. That's our duty. The purpose of this movement is to speak Krishna Katha, and not just topics about vegetarianism or reincarnation, topics about religion, how you should be honest and take care of your wife, and Rama Samhita, and this thing and that thing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that these things are external. He said that we want to hear something directly about Krishna. So these topics, bhavosadach chota, they're bhavosadach, they're the medicine for the heart, which cures the disease of the heart. Jiva Goswami says in his Bhakti Sandarbha, Nibrita Adi, Visheshana Trayena Mukta Mamuksha, Vishayi Jananam Grahanam Pashubno Vyadaha Tasya. He says in this verse there are three different persons who are being described. The Mukta, how someone who is a liberated soul, they're very attracted by Krishna Katha. Actually, this verse is said to have been originally spoken by Srila Vyasadeva. when his son came out of the womb at the age of 16, Sukadeva Goswami, and ran away from home, Vyasadeva was very unhappy and he couldn't find him. He wanted to bring him back. So he composed this poem, Nibriti Tarshaya Rupagiya Mahanad, and he taught this poem to one woodsman. We have so much forest around here, and I see the woodsmen are very active. They're going and cutting down trees and things. So he taught this verse to one such woodsman and said, you please just sing this wherever you go. And if someone asks you about it, where you heard it, tell them they should come to Vyasadeva's ashram. And so that woodsman was speaking this verse, and Shukadeva Goswami heard it. And Shukadeva Goswami was a Brahmavadi. He was a liberated soul, but his conception was that Brahman was supreme. But when he heard this verse, that even persons who are liberated from material desires, they're attracted to topics about the personality of Godhead. Shukadeva Goswami became very curious. Who is this personality of Godhead? What is this? And he asked that woodsman, where did this verse come from? And he told him, oh, I heard this from your father, Vyasadeva. Oh. So Shukadeva Goswami went home to ask him about this. So Jiva Goswami in Bhaktisundarbhi says that three persons are indicated in this verse. The mukta, those liberated souls, are Naviti Tarshaya. And the second is the mamuksha, those persons who are aspiring for liberation. By the word bhavosadachchotra manobhiramata, this is the medicine. Someone who wants to be healed from a disease, he goes to the doctor and he takes a medicine. So this verse also describes the medicine. And the third person indicated in this verse by the word pashubna, meaning the killer of the soul, the killer of the soul, or a butcher, is a vishayi. And vishayi is a materialistic person. And so Artha Darshani, his commentary on this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, describes something more. Who is that Vishayi, that materialistic person? Katancha didanadi kamanaya yadikarami vakta shrotava shaktadasa virajit evityaha pashubna dina. He said that someone who's attached to enjoying the fruit of their work, they're a karmi. Beginning with the desire for materialistic wealth. And such a person, when they hear a lecture on Krishna Katha, they don't have any interest in hearing and they get up and go away because they see it as a hindrance to their sense gratification. And specifically, he says, that they think that I don't have time for this. How are we going to pay the bills? We have to make some money. Sometimes even after the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, we've seen this in our own movement. Devotees, I've been to places where they give a 15-minute time span for Bhagavatam class. And some places they have no Bhagavatam class. We don't have time, Prabhu. We have a big mortgage. What are we going to do? We have to go out. We have to collect something. So such persons are prashubna. Pashubna means a killer of the self, it means a butcher, it means an animal. Such a person is like an animal because they don't have faith in Krishna. They don't have faith that Krishna likes Krishna Katha. And Krishna will be pleased by that. They think, because they're a karmi, that they want to enjoy the fruits of their activities. They think they're the doer. They want to collect some money. So, Vishwanath says, who but a killer of the self? Pashubna, meaning atmaha, or a killer of the soul, or the killer of an animal, a butcher, would not want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should come together and we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. By doing that, it creates a wonderful atmosphere. Krishna becomes pleased. The devatas themselves come and it's described in the Skanda Purana that Krishna himself personally comes to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Such a wonderful atmosphere is created. Even if we're not qualified speakers, simply if we repeat what we've heard, then everything will come. So we'd like to turn to the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam and speak a few things from the first chapter. But first, it might be good to meditate on a verse in the Gita. Krishna says to Arjuna, Pratanaya sadhanam vinashaya chuduskitam dharma samstarpanartaya sambhavama yuge yuge. This is a very interesting verse, and different acharyas have commented in different ways. This verse speaks about Krishna and why he comes. Pratanaya sadhanam, to save the devotees. Vishwanath says this is his most important reason. Vinashaya chuduskitam, to defeat the demons, dharma samstarpanartaya, to establish religion. Sambhavama yuge yuge, he comes again and again. In his Gita Bhushana, Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan asked a question to Krishna. He said, what is the necessity of you coming yourself? You can stay in your abode. Your devotees are there, and your righteous kings are there, like Yudhisthira and others. They can kill the demons. They can save the devotees. They can also establish principles of religion. That's the duty of a righteous king. What is the necessity for you to come? And Baladev says that Krishna answers that question by saying that I'm coming primarily for my devotees. Because my devotees are absorbed in relishing my form and my qualities, and they're suffering from not seeing me. My devotees want to see me very, very badly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Bhagavad Arkamarichamala, he's made a book of all the most important verses in the Bhagavatam. And he quotes one verse from the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, which is spoken by Vitrasura. And Bhaktivinoda, he says that this verse should be our attitude while we're doing nam bhaja. Vitrasura prayers. Praise Ajata Paksha Hiva Mataram Kaga Stanyam Yita Vatsatara Shudartaha Priyam Priyeva Vyushitam Vishana Manoravindaksha Dadrikshite Twam. Ajata Paksha, that just as those pakis, those baby birds who have no wings, they can't fly yet, they're just little babies. How intense their hankering to see their father and mother come back to the nest. They don't know, maybe my father and mother may never return. And then who's going to feed me? I'm going to die. They're hankering on this way. Stanyam yata vatsattara kshudartaha. Just like a baby calf is crying and hankering for its mother because it wants to suck from her breast. Priyam priyeva Yushitam Vishana, just like a loving wife becomes morose when her husband has gone to a distant place and is hankering to see her husband again. Manoravindaksha Dadrikshite Twam. Vritasura prays, my Lord, we want to see you in the same way. So Krishna says this to Baladeva Vibhushan. He says that I'm coming because my devotees, they can't live without me. This should be our meditation in our japa. This should be our meditation in our bhajan. This should be our meditation for our Janmashtami festival. We want Krishna to appear. We're not bahirmukjanas, external persons who are just simply doing some rituals because Gurudev told me to. GBC passed a resolution. We have to do this thing. Maybe because it's some fun. We'll have a good time. But we're doing it because we want to make Krishna appear. So Krishna says, by showing my attractive form directly to them, then I ease the suffering in their hearts. And he says, I also appear, vinashaya to duskritam, to destroy those duskrita janas, those evil persons who are doing very sinful things, like Ravan and Kamsa, who are tormenting my devotees. And Baladeva says an interesting thing. He says that Krishna says, because they can't be killed by anyone else. This is a very interesting point, and a very relevant point also for our own bhajan. Sometimes, I don't know if it ever happens to you, but not everything goes the way I want it. Does that happen to anybody else here? No? But I'm not alone anyway. And sometimes I think, maybe I'm doing something wrong, I should be doing it in a different way, and then this person wouldn't harass me like this, then this thing wouldn't happen. But from this purport we can understand that sometimes Krishna allows demons to come that no one else can destroy. The devotees can't do anything about it. Sometimes there's people harassing us and there's nothing we can do about it. There's really nothing you can do except for one thing. We can cry out to Krishna. And therefore, Vrindavan Das Thakur sings. You can chant Hare Krishna in response. Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga Dhamma, Bhakti Yoga. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga Dhana. Bhakti is the real wealth. Coming and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that's the real wealth. Not going out for some job or doing some other activity. What is that bhakti? Bhakti A, Krishna Nama. Bhakti is Krishna's name. But smarana and krandana. It means remembering Krishna when we're chanting. Thinking about it. Not just doing some ritualistic ceremony. 4 times to the feet, 2 times to the waist, 3 times to the face, 7 times around. What are you thinking when we're doing arti? We should be looking at Krishna and offering something to Krishna, not counting our circles that we're making. So we should remember Krishna and we should cry. This is bhakti. And Krishna appears to persons who cry out for him in this way. The first canto, first chapter of the 10th canto, text 17, is where our story begins. Bhumir dripta nipa vyaja daichanika satayutai akanta buri bharena brahmanam sharanam yayo. On one time, Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, was overburdened. Daichanika satayutai by hundreds and thousands of very, very powerful demons. And each one of those demons, it said akramta buri bharena. Each one of them had so many anika, unlimited different military phalanxes. There's hundreds and thousands of different demoniac kings on the earth at that time. And each one of them had hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands or hundreds of thousands of armies consisting of millions of warriors. And Bhumi Devi, she was in great distress. So she approached Lord Brahma for relief, and she dressed herself up as a cow. And this is significant. Chanakya Pandit in Chanakya Nitti in Nitti Shastra, he says, Atma Mata Guru Patni Brahmani Raja Patnika Dhenar Dhati Tata Prithvi Saptaita Matara Smitaha. Saptaita Matara Smitaha. There are 7 different mothers that we have in this world. Atma Mata, your mother, the person who gave you birth is your mother. Guru Patni, the wife of your guru, is your mother. Brahmani, the wife of a Brahman, is your mother. It's the third mother. Raja Patnika, the wife of the king, is your mother. Denur, Gomata, the cow, is our mother. Datri, a nurse, is our mother. And Tata Prithvi, the earth, is our mother. So Vedic culture is a culture which loves and respects mothers. Sometimes in our Western culture today, we don't understand very much about this concept. Radha Govinda Maharaj tells a story that once one devotee came to him, one young man, and he said that, "Maharaj, my Mataji, she wants to meet with you." And Maharaj said, "Yes, bring your mother." He said, no, it's not my mother, it's my wife." But he's calling her Mataji. But we don't understand that we have an eighth mother in this world, is our wife also. People think like that. Or they think that everybody is just the same. But Mataji is a very term of great reverence and worship. So Bhumi Devi, she appeared as a cow, and she came before Lord Brahma, because everyone appreciates a cow. When you see a cow, something, your heart becomes soft. And she's come before Lord Brahma to entreat him that you please come, you please help with this situation. This is described in the Govinda Mangal. It said there that Bhumi Devi, she came to Lord Brahma and she told Lord Brahma, Tarahara. That snake, who is that snake? That snake means Anantasesh. He's full of fear. Anantasesh is full of fear. Kurma Kore Talavala. Kurma Bhagavan is shaking. The whole universe is shaking. Dekiya Dunuja Balavan, seeing the strength of the demons. They're so very, very bad. So hearing the words of Bhumi Devi, Lord Brahma and the Devas, they decided to go to see Lord Vishnu. And they reached the northern shore of the ocean of milk, and Lord Brahma began to pray to Lord Vishnu. Anuha anugraha kuru prabhu kamalachana mabina keva akshivita Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Anugraha koro Prabhu, my dear Prabhu, please be pleased with us. O Kamala Lokshan, O lotus-eyed Lord, Lord Narayan, Tomabina keva achi vipada nashana. Other than you, who can destroy this vipada, these problems that we have? Bhurana mangala tuni dakti sabakara somara. The personification of good fortune for this universe. Gati Sabakar, you're the goal of this universe. Toma Shidita Shishti, your creation is this universe. Everything, Sakala Samsar, both in the material and the spiritual world, is your creation. So Krishna is described in the book Vaidagya Vilas. At that time, Krishna, he ordered Yoga Maya to appear in this world. Aprakata dhamma chetade yoga maya chitamata prakte tena ati vishadiya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna told yoga maya, you manifest my abode in this world, and Pita Mata Prakatena Ati Vishtahiya, you also manifest my father and my mother. This is a very important thing, and this is a big part of our discussion we want to have in the next few days about Krishna's family members. Who is Krishna's father? Who is his mother? Who is Krishna's grandfather? Who are his aunts and uncles? What are their position? And who is really Krishna's father and mother? Vasudeva and Devaki? Or Nanda and Yashoda? And what's the difference between them? What do our acharyas have to say about this thing? Whenever the Lord decides to manifest himself, his internal energy in the form of Chit Shakti, his devotees, they also manifest, they also come. When the Lord wants to enjoy pastimes, is Maryada Purushottam, the best upholder of Vedic etiquette, then Bhagavan comes as Lord Ramachandra. And his associates come as the monkeys, and they, Hanuman and Sugriva and others, and they help the Lord to fight with Ravan. When the Lord wants to enjoy his Aishvarjamoya Lila, his pastimes which is full of opulence, then his associates manifest themselves as the Lakshmis and the different four-armed associates in Vaikuntha. When the Lord wants to enjoy his pastimes, which are mixed with Nara Lila and some Aishvarya Lila, human pastimes and some opulent pastimes, then he manifests himself in his Purna Bhagavan form as Dwarkadish, and his associates have descended this world as the members of the Yadu dynasty. But when Krishna, Swayam Rupa Govinda, the original Krishna, comes, then his original associates come with him and Vrindavan manifests. So then what is the difference between Mathura and Vrindavan? What is the difference between Devaki and Vasudeva? We've made some charts about this thing. Krishna Kron, you can go to the first one. And we'll sing a little of this and we'll speak some things from Bhagavatam. Mathura te deva mire name mahashoy Kshatriyarani Aisharani Diva Hare Krishna Hare whose name was Devamida. And this Devamida, he was a Brahmin, but he accepted two different wives. One of his wives is said by Rupa Goswami to be named Kshatriya. I don't know if that was actually her name or if that's just her varna. She was a Kshatriya. And his other wife is named Arya. And Arya was a Vaishya. So the word Devamida, Deva means of the gods. Mida has several different meanings. It's a significant word, Devamida. Mida means a ram, a male goat, a very powerful personality. It also means a reward. Devamida means sprinkled by rain or by the mercy of Indra. It means, something could say, the ram of the gods or the reward of the gods. Devamida. So this was the reward of the gods. Devamida, he had two wives, Kshatriya and Arya, and they had different sons, and we'll speak something about that over the next few days. Mostly today I'd like to speak something about the side of Surasena and Marisha, but we can mention on the other side, from his Vaishya wife, he had three sons, Parjanya, Urjanya, and Rajanya. And Parjanya is the grandfather of Krishna. Parjanya is the father of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj has four brothers, who they are, and what Krishna's relationships are with them, who their wives are. We'd like to speak something about that the next few days. But he also had this Kshatriya wife who gave birth to Surasena. Surasena was a very powerful king, and he married a beautiful wife named Marisha, and they had 10 sons and 5 daughters. The 10 sons were Vasudeva, Devabhag, Devashrava, Anaka, Srinjaya, Shamaka, Kanka, Samika, Vatsaka, and Brika. This is described in the 24th chapter of the 9th canto. And we know that Vasudeva and Devaki, they gave birth to Krishna, think Krishna Kona put this up, but yes. And then Krishna's son was Pradyumna, Pradyumna's son was Aniruddha, and Aniruddha's son was Vrajana. So they also, Surasena and Marisha had five daughters. Pritha is Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi is originally known as Pritha. She was a daughter of Surasena and Marisha. But Surasena's sister's son, Kunti Bhoja, had no children. So Surasena gave Pritha to Kunti Bhoja to raise like his own daughter. And so then Pritha became known as Kunti from that time on. So the five daughters of Surasena and Marisha were Pritha, Shutadeva, Shutakirti, Shutashrava, and Rajadi Devi. Mm-hmm. So we'd also like to speak something about another line. Krishna, come. Can you do it? There was a king whose name was Ahuka. Mm-hmm. The word Ahu in Sanskrit means someone who does sacrifice, or it means literally to offer an oblation and yajna. Mm-hmm. And the word ka is a tarita suffix. Mm-hmm. It can mean something like. So in other words, the word ahuka means someone who's like a personified sacrifice. Ahuka had two sons, Devaka and Ugrasena. And we see here. Okay, good. So Devaka had four sons and seven daughters. His four sons were Devavan, Upadev, Sudev, and Devavardhana. The seven daughters were Shanti Deva, Upadeva, Srideva, Devarikshita, Sahadeva, Devaki, and Dhritadeva, who was actually the eldest. So all seven of those ladies were married to Vasudev, along with also Rohini. And Prabhupada says in some places other wives also. It seems that Vasudev had many, many different wives. Now Ugrasena and Padmavati, do you have a chart for them to come? Ugrasena and Padmavati, they had nine sons and five daughters. So remember, Ugrasena was the son of the sage Devamita. Mm-hmm. Both Ugrasena and Surasena. So Ugrasena and Padmavati, they had Kamsa, who was the eldest son. Sunama, Nayogra, Kanka, Shanku, Suhu, Rashtrapala, Dishti, and Tushtima. These are the nine different sons of Kamsa. And they also had five daughters. Kamsa, Kamsavati, Kanka, Surabhu, Rashtrapalika. Those are the five different daughters of Ugrasena and Padmavati. And all of those daughters were married to the younger brothers of Vasudeva, according to the 24th chapter of the Bhagavatam. So one question which often comes up then for devotees is that how is it that Krishna killed Kamsa? If Krishna is the son of Devaki, sometimes people say that Devaki is the sister of Kamsa, but that's actually not the case. She's the cousin, and in some Puranas, like the Agni Purana, it says that Devaka had a son named Devapa, and that Devaki was his daughter. We won't go into that so much because the Bhagavatam says something different. The Bhagavatam says that Devaki was directly the son of Devaka. Sometimes there's some different descriptions given. Jiva Goswami says, even between the Mahabharata and the Bhagavatam, to give a radical example, in the Mahabharata it says that when Maharaj Parikshit was cursed by Sringi, that he built a huge tower and had thousands of guards around him to protect himself from the snake bird, Takshika. And then Takshika came in the form of a worm, which someone brought him an apple. And he came out and bit Maharaj Parikshit. Very different description given what the Bhagavatam is. So Jiva Goswami comments that sometimes in different Divya Yugas, the same pastime happens again and again, but in slightly different ways. Sanatana Goswami makes the same point in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says that sometimes Krishna, he drives Kaliya out from the Jamuna. And sometimes Krishna brings all the gopis on the hoods of Kaliya and they start doing a Ras Leela on the hoods of Kaliya. And sometimes Krishna with a flute in his right hand and a rope in his left hand. He puts a rope to the nose of Kaliya and he rides Kaliya like a horse. And he says that sometimes Krishna, when he goes to Mathura, he's taken by a Krura to Mathura. And sometimes Krishna rides on the back of Kaliya in different Divya Yugas. The same pastime is happening again and again, but in slightly different ways. Jiva Goswami says in other places, sometimes in some Divya Yugas, Ravan kidnaps Sita. And in some Divya Yugas, he doesn't kidnap Sita. And Ramachandra kills him for some other reason. The pastimes happen in slightly different ways. So it's possible that Devaki, in some Divya Yugas, is the son, is the daughter of the Devaka, and other times is Devaka. In any case, Devaki, she's the cousin or cousin niece of Kamsa. So Vedic culture is a very strict culture, and Krishna is Dharmavan, he's the upholder of Dharma. How do we understand that Krishna killed Kamsa? And perhaps even a greater question, how do we understand that Ugrasena, who was a great devotee, had such a badmash, such a rascal son as Kamsa? The answer to that question is found in the Padma Purana, in the second canto, in chapters 48 to 51. It's described there that Padmavati was the daughter of Maharaj Satyaketu. He was a very pious king of Vidarbha. And Padmavati, who was later the wife of Kamsa, she was full of all good qualities. She was like Lakshmi Devi in her qualities, and her beauty, and her virtuousness. And she was married to Ugrasena, Padmavati married Ugrasena. Ugrasena was very pleased with her qualities and behavior. Did I say she was married to Kamsa? She was married to Ugrasena. Padmavati became more dear to Ugrasena than his own life. And Ugrasena wouldn't go anywhere without Padmavati. He wouldn't eat without Padmavati. But at the same time, Satyaketu and his wife, they were missing their daughter Padmavati. So they requested Maharaj Ugrasena, please send our daughter back so that we can see her. So Ugrasena, he sent Padmavati back to Vidarbha, to Satyaketu and his wife. And Padmavati was very happy there, again, to go and see her father and mother and all of her old friends. And when she arrived there, all the residents there of Vidarbha, they gave her different gifts. The ladies had so many beautiful saris for her, and they gave her different beautiful ornaments and decorations. And Padmavati was very happy. She was going every day with her friends into the forest and playing in different lakes and rivers. And one day, Padmavati and her friends, they went to a nearby mountain. And this mountain was very, very beautiful. It had many blooming flower and fruit trees. And it was surrounded by ponds that were full of different swans and lotus flowers and different beautiful birds. And everywhere there was a sound of cuckoo birds and the buzzing of bees. Padmavati was playing in the water of that lake, and she was singing some songs of their friends. At that time, there was a yaksha named Gobila, who was serving Kuvera, and he came by in a vimana, a celestial airplane. And when Gobila looked down and saw the beauty of Padmavati, he almost fell out of his airplane. Wow, she's so beautiful. I have to have her. I can't live without her. He couldn't understand. He became so bewildered by lust. Who is this? Is this Rati, the wife of Cupid? Maybe this is Lakshmi, the wife of Lord Vishnu. Or maybe it's Parvati or Sachi, the wife of Indra. Gobila was so attached to her. And Gobila had mystic powers. And by his mystic powers, he could understand that that lady, Padmavati, was the daughter of the king of Vidarbha and the wife of Ugrasena. And he saw she's a very powerful, very righteous personality, very effulgent, and there's no way any ordinary person can touch her. And Gobila, he thought, but what can I do? If I can't enjoy with her, I'll die. But how can I accomplish this? So then the demon Gobila, by his mystic powers, manifested a form exactly like that of Ugrasena, with exactly the same hair and dress and ornaments and voice and everything. And then that demon, Gobila, in the guise of Ugrasena, sat down on a stone in the mountain there and began playing a lute and singing a beautiful song. And Padmavati, when she heard that song, she thought, who is that that's singing so beautifully? And so she went there and she saw, it's my husband. And Gobila smiled at her and she thought, my dear husband, how did you come here? It's so far away. And then Gobila told her, my dear wife, I'm desiring you so intensely, I can't live without you. You have to come and satisfy my desires. And so Padmavati, she went with that person she thought was her husband. And they went to a private place. And he began to enjoy with her. And then suddenly, Padmavati noticed that there was no mark, a particular mark that Ugrasena had on some of his private parts on that demon. And then Padmavati became terrified. She realized, you're not my husband. And she began crying and shaking. And she said, who are you? Who are you acting in such a wicked way? You've destroyed my chastity, my best virtue. And then she told him, now you watch my power. I'm going to curse you. I'm going to destroy you. And Gobila told her, why will you curse me? What did I do wrong? He said, you should know. I'm the Yaksha, Gobila. And I'm in the family of Ravana and Palashyamuni. I know the Vedas. I'm skilled in all the arts. I have this Rakshasa Dharma. My Dharma is a Rakshasa. Is by force I'm supposed to enjoy the wealth and the wives of other people. I am following my Rakshasa Dharma. There's no fault in my part. That's our duty. We destroy sacrifices and religious rites. We destroy the chastity of ladies. So I'm following my Dharma. Why do you want to curse me? What's my fault? And Padmavati said, I'll burn you to ashes. And then Gobila said an interesting thing to her. He said that, dear lady, don't do that. He said, I have many things I can teach you. He said, I know all the Dharma Shastras. I know Manasamhita Lakini. I know Vishnu Smriti. I know all these different literatures. I can teach you about how to do the sacred fire. I can teach you about the duties and behavior of a proper servant. I can teach you about the proper behavior of a chaste wife and how she should serve her husband. I can teach you about how you should serve your father and mother. I can teach you all these different dharmic things. And again, Padmavati, she said, I don't want any of those things. She said, you destroyed my chastity. I'm going to destroy you. And then Gobila laughed. And he said, what can you do to me? What kind of chastity do you have anyway? You're the one who left your husband. You left him there in Mathura. And you came here to the province of Vidarbha to be with your husband. How chaste are you? And you're so far away from your husband. And see, you're dressing up in so many ornaments, fancy dresses. This is not Vedic culture. Your husband's 100 yojanas away. Where is your loyalty and your chastity to him? He said, you're a shameless woman. You're cruel and wicked. Where is your penance and power to curse me? And then Padmavati began to cry. She said, listen, demon. My father brought me here with affection. What is the sin in that? I'm devoted to my husband, but you took his form and tricked me. Now I'm going to burn you to ashes. And Gobila just laughed. And he said, you have no power to do that. As soon as a desire to visit your father's home rose in your heart, then your eye of wisdom disappeared and you lost your potency. I have no fear from you. You have no power to curse me. Now you should come with me to my home and you can enjoy with me as you like. And then Padmavati began to cry more bitterly. And she told him, go away. And she went away from that place and sat down and began weeping. And Gobila left. And as he was leaving, he told her, hey woman, I've put my seed in you. And from your child, from you, a child will be born, will agitate all the three worlds. And then Gobila left. And Padmavati, with her open mouth, began to cry and cry. And her girlfriends heard her. And they went there. What happened? And Padmavati told them the story. Then her friends told her, we should explain this to your mother. Your mother will know what to do, not your father. Mm-hmm. So they took her to Padmavati's mother and explained everything to her and then told her father. Her parents were very aggrieved. They told her, anyway, don't say anything to Ugrasena about this. And they sent her back to Mathura. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, inside the womb of Padmavati, a baby began to grow. And that baby stayed in the womb for 10 years. But Padmavati, she was very disturbed with this baby. She knew this was a child of a demon, although she hadn't told her husband, Ugrasena. She tried to abort that baby, the Padma Purana says. She gave some different herbs and things. And then when she tried that, the child spoke up from the womb and said, Mother, why are you trying to kill me? You can't kill me. Don't you know in my previous life I was Kalanimi, the enemy of Lord Vishnu? And to take revenge, I've come here again. So this is an interesting subject matter. Ugrasena is a great devotee. But yet he's having a son like Kamsa. We should think deeply about this thing. In the Vedic literature, it's described as three different types of birth. Shokra, Savitra, and Daiksha. Shokra means seminal birth. Like we speak about Shukracharya. Shukracharya was a seminal guru of Bali Maharaj. And sometimes we speak about some Shokra line, some seminal line. But better than that is the Savitra line, a line of initiation, parampara, of Diksha. When someone gets Gayatri Mantra, that's Savitra. They're known as Dvija, Dvijanma. They have second birth after taking that mantra. And the third type of birth is called Daiksha. Daiksha means when one becomes initiated into mantra, just like in the pastime of the Vedic Brahmins in Braj and the Yajnapatnis, their wives. After their wives got the mercy of Krishna, those Vedic Brahmins were wondering, they said, how did these ladies get so much mercy? They never had Savita, they were never initiated in the Gayatri Mantra, nor were they initiated in this Daiksha, this third initiation of doing sacrifice. They couldn't understand. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary in that pastime, he says that those wives of the Brahmins, they had something those Brahmins didn't have. They were doing Krishna Kirtan. Because they'd met some of the palm sellers and flower sellers from Braj, and they were purchasing flowers and palm from them. And from those ladies from Braj, the wives of the Brahmins were hearing about the glories of Krishna. And then they began speaking about Krishna. So in this age of Kali, we want to take initiation, we want three births also. We have our Shokra birth, our Janma from our parents, and then we become Dvija when we take second initiation from our spiritual master. And then we become Daiksha, our Savitra birth, when we get Gayatri Mantra. But there's another birth, and that's the birth known as Daiksha. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that Daiksha means after taking second initiation, when one begins to do sacrifice. So in this age of Kali, there's only one sacrifice. Nama Yajna Maha Yajna Kolo Kama Sanasana Krishna Chaitanya Prityarte Nama Yajna Samarpana. That Nama Yajna Maha Yajna, in this age of Kali, the great Yajna is a Nam Yajna, chanting Hare Krishna. Kalo Koma Sanasanam. It'll destroy all the evils of Kali Yuga. Krishna Chaitanya Pritkarte. It's very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Nama Yajna Samarpana. We offer this Yajna to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to his devotees. And so those devotees who are engaged in this kind of Yajna, they have Daiksha, or third birth. And we have some obligation to serve our spiritual master, to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead properly, by spreading this yajna everywhere, by having Krishna Katha, by chanting Krishna Nam. It's not enough just that the Sokra Janma, or the seminal birth. Kamsa is the son of Ugrasena and Padmavati. Actually not the son of Ugrasena. Gobila and Padmavati. But Ugrasena didn't know that thing. So even though he's the son of a great woman, and even though he's the king of Mathura, we don't accept him as a great personality just by his birth. Rather, we want to see the behavior of someone, their activities. We want to see what kind of yajna they're doing. So we can stop this. Shishi Radha Madan Mohanju Ki, Shila Prabhupada Ki, Go Prema Nandi Hari Hari Go. Just chant for me.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare 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 Radha Madan Mohan Radha Mohan Radha
represents the mundane head of religion. He looks like a very religious person. And from his father, Govila, he learned all the Dharma Shastras by taking birth as a son of Govila. He knew all about rituals and ceremonies. He only had one minor fault. He hated Krishna. He had a few other faults, which were hating Krishna was the root of all. Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they say that Kamsa, although he was in the family of Krishna, although he was the son of the saintly Ugrasena, because he hated Krishna, he wanted to use religion for himself, Dharma for himself, until he was telling people that you just be a good citizen in my kingdom, you just give money to the king, you just worship me, and everything will be okay. Like a good deal. Okay? Anything else to say? Guruji?
I forgot the quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam. You mentioned the word of Vitasura.
What?
The word which was spoken by Vitasura.
Rikasura, Ajata Paksha.
The reference?
That's 6th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 11. Text 26, 6, 11, 26. Important verse. Okay, anything else to say? So we'd like to speak some things in the next few days about the external, the famous reasons for Krishna's appearance, and also some internal reasons for Krishna's appearance. And again, as we mentioned, we'd like to discuss something about who is Krishna the son of? Devaki Basudeva or Yashoda and Nanda? Why? Shri Prabhupada ki
jai,
Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki
jai,
Premanandi
Hariyo,
Vamsakalpa Yudhishthira Krishna 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 Yudhishthira